Good evening and welcome to Coffee and Tea with Jason and Sandy. How are you, darling?
Good. Hey, David. Good.
Good. Grab my earbuds.
How are you?
Doing decent, doing decent. I mean, we're at the last 2 weeks of the Battle for the Black Rose. I'm hitting quarter goals that I'm wanting to, but, you know, it's a lot of analyzation.
Right. The Battle of the Black Rose.
Huh?
The Battle of the Black Rose.
Uh-huh. That is an old network term. It is the season, it's a week before Halloween. That picks up spooky season. We run through the new year, new me behavior. Then we run into Valentine's Day, and just after Valentine's Day, because I'm telling you, and this is a warning out there for you people, call your florist, get your flowers ordered, have your candy delivered, like have it all done. Don't forget your mistresses. Let's make this simple and easy. Okay? Don't have them on the phone complaining to me because you're an idiot that can't read a calendar. You know,
exactly.
You know, we always get busy. Like, we're at least I do.
Right.
That season.
Very good. Yeah, a lot of people get concerned about their love life during that season.
Right. But, you know, they get over it. They get, you know, and I really wish people would follow foundational steps to building any relationship.
Well, they're always waiting the other person to do all the work. That's the problem. So, you know, no one does any work in the end.
Well, what happens is you have those that hop in there, and they're all super like, I'm in love with him. You know, I got to call him. I must own him. Everything has to be all one and good. You know, we have to get to this. You know, it's all going to pop up. It's all, you know, new and improved. And it's like, no, it isn't. You know, you relationships takes time to build. It takes time to grow. It is not this instant connection, instant relationship that's just simple.
Exactly. It's exactly what I tell my clients. You know, when's it going to get serious? It's not going to get serious overnight. It's a gradual build-up to serious.
Right.
You know, and in that time, you've got to be positive, go with the flow, let things develop naturally.
And negotiate what you actually want.
Exactly. Well, actually, we negotiated early, in the early days. Like, you know, I want to be in a serious relationship. I find often that happens is that they agree to a friends with benefits relationship.
Right.
And then they expect it to turn serious sometime down the road. And I'm like, no, because you accepted a certain kind of dynamic.
Well, but, and see, yeah, there's a difference there. That's, you know, one is, can friends with benefits turn into a relationship?
Of course it can. Yes. But you can't just expect it.
Right.
If you've agreed to that to begin with, if you want that to change, then you have to sit down and talk to that particular person in order to start that change, get that change going.
Right.
If it's going to happen, because that person may not want to change it.
Right.
So that's why you've got to go into a relationship with clearly what you want. You want a serious relationship. If you don't want to be friends with benefits, you want a relationship where you can, where you know it can develop into something serious. Don't go in with something that you don't want.
All right. And, you know, the days of being married in 30 days of meeting somebody.
Oh, that's been over since 1950s, 60s.
It's, 60s, you know, it doesn't work that way. Relationships are much more complicated than they used to be.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, get in line with what you want. Don't be dating people thinking that they can change.
Right.
Be very clear on what you want out of the relationship.
Exactly. Best from the beginning.
Harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this one, I believe, you know, this is the more harder one for people is don't go making instant, we're going to get married in 6 months. And his mother just loves me.
You want the expectation.
You don't even know each other.
Yeah. You want the expectation it's going to be a serious relationship. You can't make that happen. And you can't demand that to happen. You just can hope that will happen.
Well, that, and you can't go in there and believe that every connection is permanent.
No.
And that, you know, you don't have to do any work for a relationship. You know, or that you get to lighten up in the relationship. So that doesn't happen either.
Yeah.
You know, relationships take this every day. You know, whether it's digging a hole in the backyard or deciding, is this worth fighting over? Or is this, you know, where we are at with this? Like, what are we going to do with it? Do we want this? Do we not?
Look, the relationship's going to develop naturally. There's no timeline on anything. And it's going to either happen or it's not going to happen.
Right.
I found a client recently. I had a client recently. I have a client that's not, you know, that's irritating me a bit because her boyfriend happens to have a very demanding job mm-hmm. that has a kind of a flow of work, which sometimes it's busier, sometimes it's not so busy. But when it's busier, mm-hmm. his availability is limited and restricted because he's tired. He's like from work, all he wants to do is just eat, go to bed. That's it, you know. Right. Right. So she's upset because during this busy period of his job, he doesn't spend as much time with her. So then she starts to pressure him and he can't do anything about it because it's his job. It's his right. livelihood. So therefore, because she starts nagging and pressuring and then he starts taking more and more distance because now she's just another form of pressure.
Well, not only that, but she's just another item on his to-do list of unreal exactly. expectations.
Yeah, you know? Another form of pressure. So right. then she complains that, oh, now he's all distant. And I keep trying to tell her, if you don't stop doing that, if you don't start making good memories and start being more positive and start being more understanding, the more distance mm-hmm. he's going to become till eventually he's just going to end it.
Well, he's not going to end it. She's going to end it out of frustration.
Well, she's ending it. She's ending it by putting him in that position where he's forced to end it.
Right. You know, and she's the one that, you know, and I see it all the time. Well, what type of man do you want? Oh, I want a successful man. Okay. Well, guess what? Successful men don't have time to be liking every one of your posts on Instagram.
Right. And they don't have time sitting around doing nothing. They're either working hard to be successful or they're not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
End of story. And if you don't understand that they have a demanding job and sometimes time is restricted, plus they have other commitments, they have family.
Right.
They've got their basic domestics, like their laundry, clean their apartment, eat, buy food, that kind of, just basic domestics that you need to live your life. None of this is understood. Their whole life has to revolve around them.
Right.
That's it. If it doesn't, it's not working. It doesn't matter what they're going through, if their auntie died or the mother died or whatever it is, it doesn't matter because as long as they're there for them, that's all that counts.
Right. And see, those people are, I think, should be like, nope, you're not ready for a serious relationship.
They're not.
They're not.
They'll never have one anyway because they keep doing that. They'll end up alone.
Well, and I think that if they keep doing that in general, they're not only going to end, I don't think they'll end up alone. I think they're going to end up in a very toxic relationship where someone hands them back the same behavior. Why aren't you back from the grocery store? You should have been back 5 minutes ago.
Well, not necessarily. People do end up alone.
Yeah, they do. They run off their chances. They keep telling the universe, nope, passing on that one. Nope, I'm passing on this one. And the universe goes, finally, you know, look, girl, you scheduled 10 options. You've gone through to 8.
They don't learn. She doesn't learn. I could go through a whole reading with her. Mm-hmm. Explaining all of this, and in the end, she's, I don't think he loves me because he's always working, and that's it. Everything I've said, everything's gone out. Mm-hmm. That hasn't even slightly entered her mind. None of it.
Well, because it's not the fairy tale romance that she wants.
She won't find it. because everyone she gets involved with has a life of their own, right. And she can't accept that whoever she's involved with does not, you know, immediately drop their whole life just pander to her needs constantly.
Right.
She's going to end up alone in the story.
Well, and you know, that's by choice. That's always by choice. But that also shows the level of inconsequential behavior that people have taught her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can do what I want. I can say what I want. You're still going to be here. You're still
going to be raised that way. Yeah, she was raised that way. And no one else's needs are important except hers.
Exactly. Okay. You know, and that's like, nope, that's not how this works. You have to make choices and you have to set reasonable expectations. Like, you know, he has a half hour drive home. You know that, you know, he has about 30 minutes to chill down and get to bed because he has to get up the next day in 4 hours. No, you're not going to call him. No, you're not going to harass him. No, you're not going to get mad at him. When he has a whole week off and, you know, the first 3 days he veggies and then he wants to do something with you, then get interested and, you know, hold him accountable. But until then, it's like, You know, and I think it's because those people are not, they're so in-depth into the modern world of things that when they get into the future, you know, boom, you know, they don't know how to deal with not being in constant communication because they grew up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They don't remember the days when you had to wait for the phone in the kitchen to ring and somebody to answer it, and then you had to stand there and talk to them or happen to leave a message on voicemail on an answering machine before even voicemail or write a letter and get a letter back. I think those are fundamental steps in relationships that need a modern equivalent.
Well, I was alive before even there was voicemail. You had to wait for the phone to ring and you had to hope that no one in the house was on the phone. Because all they need is a busy signal, and you have to hope that person would call you back. You had no way of knowing where they were or who they were with. Mm-hmm. You had no way of knowing where you were or who you were with. You had to be home, answer that phone, and that's it. Yeah. And they could be calling you from a phone booth, because in those days you had phone booths. And so it's interesting how everything's so dramatically changed.
Well,
so dramatically.
It is dramatically changed, but unfortunately, the human brain is not updated that way.
Well, now they've got tracking and everything. So now, if you're not where you're supposed to be, or if you don't call back, you don't answer that text with a nano of a second or someone sending it, you know, it turns into a breakup argument.
Right.
And it turns at into that point,
it does. Right. But it's a self-created crisis.
Yes. I mean, I've seen people texting each other when they're out, telling each other exactly what they're doing. And I'm like, what are you doing? What, you know, you haven't told them when you go to the bathroom or when you go into Macy's. You go out for the day shopping. That's it.
Right.
You have to give them a breakdown of every movement that you're making. I'm standing over here by the window right now, and someone's sitting down in the living room, and it's ridiculous. It's got to a point of no one has any privacy, and I think it's too much pressure.
Well, I don't think it really matters when it comes to privacy, because we lost privacy a long time ago.
Yeah,
but it's too much pressure. My question is, what do you talk to at dinner? Like, these people that do this, what do you talk about at dinner?
It's all been said. So there's nothing, communication starts to break down because there's really nothing to talk about anymore.
Right.
They're not interested in anything anymore. No one's interested in what goes on, in the arts, like movies, going to a museum or anything. No one's taken all interest in exchange, reading. No one has taken interest in anything anymore. It's like a good movie or the movie club. I remember when I was younger, I used to go to these like movie nights of these exotic movie theaters where they show exotic movies that you couldn't see anywhere, or We had the midnight movie show. You all ended up going there, and it was a double bill, and had two horror movies in a row, and all these things. And you did all these interesting things. Well, people actually did have books that they were reading, because that's all you could do was read books that they would talk about, or you know, or a museum was more fascinating in those days. You had things going on, whereas now all it is social media. That's all it is. And there was a joke on TikTok one time, and the guy was saying, you know, you listen to your grandma, she's got all these interesting stories to tell you. You know, like, for example, me, I rode a motorbike, you know, I was a triple X sport person, and I did dance and did all this stuff, acting. But when my grandson is going to be a grandfather, what's he going to be showing on pictures of food? This is what I ate for breakfast, what I ate for dinner. You know, it's a whole different dynamic.
Well, it is a different dynamic, but at the same time, it's going to be like, you know, figuring out, and you know, especially in the dating world now, figuring out your boundaries. You know, I don't answer text messages when it's just like my work time. You can forget that. The only reason I'm calling home is the car's broke down, or I need to know what you want for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, it's different for other generations, but the problem there is, however, is that the human existence of mind hasn't updated.
Well, they were born into a different scenario than what we were born into, so they don't. It's not an update, it's only set, you know. Right. My mind's updated 100 times over, as you said. I've been through all of those progressive steps.
Right, but I'm saying that, like, if someone's sitting there blowing your phone up, block, silent, that's our behavior. That's going to be anybody that's still operating on that wavelength of relationships.
Right.
Okay. Of, you know, no, that's not communication. That is harassment.
That's right. It is.
You know, nope, you ain't stalking me. You know, not happening. If I feel like saying, oh, I'm going to Walmart's this evening, so be it. But you're not going to fifth degree me in any situation about where I'm going, what I'm doing, who am I talking to. So that is red flag city.
Precisely. You've got to, people got to either trust their partner or not trust their partner, and that's it. You know, when people are at work, that's a very important point. And their partner calls them, and they can't talk. They can't talk because they're at work.
Yeah, why are you calling me?
This is not understood. This is not understood. Oh, it was all abrupt with me. Well, yeah, because he's at work.
Exactly.
Anything could be going on at work. He's at work. The place that pays him, him being on the phone to you is stealing time, and he could get fired from his job.
Well, not only that, but people act like they don't care about that anymore. I'm sorry. When I was coming up, if you call somebody at work, you had to be bleeding, dead, or in the hospital.
Exactly.
Darn any of those. You're in trouble when they get off work, and they're in trouble.
Exactly.
You know.
You can't call people.
Liking, you know, oh, but they're liking stuff on Instagram. They may have liked that 5 damn days ago. You know, it's just now showing up.
But someone, if they did in their lunch hour, like a dance show or something on Instagram, these things, it's Instagrams.
Right.
It's not real. It's real, but it's not something that, you know, just because you like something on Instagram, you're not going to run away with that person into the sunset all of a sudden, not come home ever again.
Exactly. Or, you know, just because his finger hit something, oh my God, he doesn't like me anymore. He's liking this other girl's stuff. Knock it off. Get real. And I've told people, knock it off, get real. You know, because it's like, are you in there? This dude is working 70 hours a week. You know, he is, you know, in his busy season, and he has one evening off, and he, instead of spending it with you, who he has been blown up all week and is stressed in the relationship, he wants to go hang out with his guy friends.
Exactly.
I don't understand why he doesn't want to hang out with me. He wants to blow off stress. You are stress. That
Correct.
Doesn't work.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and it's like, I don't understand why he's acting this way. You created it. What more do you need to create the problem?
Exactly.
You know, and I tell a lot of people that come, you know, I've been calling him and texting him. When are you giving him a place to move in? And see, this is why I think when you first start dating someone, you need to go and slow down. Who takes the rule? Who takes the lead? Who follows? You know, who's the thing who? These are important things to look at.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it should be like a two-way street. You know, I don't think that there should be a leader or a follower. I think there should be like a two-way communication. And I also believe there should be a certain boundaries, certain expect right. that person to be independent, have different interests at different times to you. So you do your thing, they can do their thing, and you can still come together right. and love each other while they're doing their thing. You don't have to be the same. You don't have to have the same interests and do the same shit all the time. It's not how it works.
Well, it's not how it works. But, you know, the other part there about having your same interest or, you know, handling things differently, it's not how it works all the time. But couples have independent lives.
Yes.
Couples are very happy not to see their man.
Right.
You know. And I think people have a real strong problem when they get in a relationship with someone vastly different, or someone that has a different work ethic or a different job. And it's like, well, why are they doing this? And it's like, you've been looking around 6 months. You know, our sounds terrible. And it's like, this is normal life for them. They traditionally go on vacation with their friends in April. What's your problem?
Exactly. Exactly. It's got to be trust is very important. And that trust has to be built up. But if you go in deciding you're not going to trust that person no matter what, it's never going to get built up. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what you do, if someone is going to cheat on someone, they don't do it no matter what you do.
Well, and I think that no matter what, if they cheat on you, instead of, you know, blaming them, which, you know, everyone does, you know, or, you know, blaming themselves, which is even more common, take an account. What's occurring here? You know, what need is not being met?
Well, my theory on cheating is if someone cheats on a regular relationship that's just regular, like they've been together 6 months, that person was not committed to begin with to that relationship.
Yeah, I have a different view of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, even if that person has alienated them by their crazy behavior or whatever, 9 times out of 10, instead of cheating, they would just end it. You don't like me, you don't accept me, you think I'm this, you think I'm that, see ya. Then they go off and meet someone else, right?
Right.
If someone is cheating on that relationship, that I think they weren't committed from the start. Now, that's a different dynamic to a relationship that's been going on like for a marriage for 30 years and then they cheat. That's another dynamic because in that instance, there was a commitment, but that commitment is over because that person has now grown away and they want to move on.
Right. Or there's something not being met in that relationship.
There is always, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly correct. Their needs are no longer being fulfilled.
Right.
In that 30-year scenario. But in that scenario of 6 months,
their needs
are not being fulfilled. But they would never have been fulfilled because there was never a commitment to begin with because their needs weren't being met to begin with. that was still looking out there for greener grass.
Well, I think they were still available. Sometimes they are looking out there for greener grass. However, I don't think that's the case always. I think the case most times is they start feeling alienated. They start feeling like, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And, you know, oh, we can't have chicken because you don't like chicken. You know, and like other needs begin not being met.
You know? But yeah, but the thing is, after 6 months, is too, like, it's so soon. It's such it's not even established. Nothing's established. So the commitment's not there. It's already broken. If that person's driving them crazy, it's over. Because that person ain't even had a chance to make a commitment. Because yes, there's love at first sight times, and people fall in love and stay in love for many, many years, etc. In a very short space of time. But 9 times out of 10, that is not the case. And if they're already looking elsewhere in a very short space of time, then the commitment was not there to begin with. I can't. It's not. It simply isn't. They're not fulfilling their needs day one.
I feel like a lot of people do that. They start fulfilling their needs.
They fulfill certain needs.
That honeymoon, you know, phase of things. During that, well, isn't that just cute? And, oh, yes, of course I'll do that for you. And, oh, yeah, that's no problem. I can have dinner on the table by 5 o'clock. And, you know, all this yammering going on. And then, you know, about 3-4 months that, you know, the true behavior starts showing up. And the true, like, I'm not fixing dinner at 5 o'clock. I don't want to. You know. And the true personality is not the, oh, isn't it just so cute? Oh, isn't she just doing so this?
You see, you tell people who you are to begin with. Like, for example, I don't date anymore, but if I were to date, hypothetically speaking, there would never be dinner on the table at 5 o'clock. Number one. Number two, they can eat chicken, I'll eat pork, whatever. I don't care. Right. You eat what you want to eat. I'll eat whatever I want to eat. We have to eat the same shit. That's it. All right. You want to go out at night with the boys? Welcome. Go out. Let me have my own a night to myself anywhere. I'm good with that. Because my way of dealing with it is I can't control these people. I have no control over what people do. So if they're going to cheat on me, they're going to do it no matter what I do, no matter what I say. They're going to cheat on me if that's what they're inclined to do. That if that's what's going to happen, right? And it doesn't matter which one of my friends likes him or which girl's at the bar that likes him. None of that matters. What matters is the choice he makes in that moment, right?
Right.
Now, I've found that just let people do what they want to do, they're not going to do anything that's upsetting. They're going to go out and have drinks with the boys or drinks with the girls and just enjoy the evening. Have a good laugh, bitch about you for half an hour. So what if they do? You know, you're not perfect. Right. You bitch about them. It's a two-way street, right? And that's it. And it's they come home. Everything continues on. The relationship continues on. Nothing's wrong,
right?
In the story, you know. But there are people, both men and women, that are out there that really enjoy being flirtatious. Really enjoy the attention. And have no intention of being faithful.
Well, and then there are people that commonly flirt. And I am so tired of this. Okay. They commonly flirt. They mean nothing by it. And, you know, and women are
the ones that do this. There's the definition of flirting. But flirting. There's flirting and there's being friendly.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a partner who's very polite, very friendly, I'm very friendly, very polite. I greet everybody. I pay everyone the same attention. Doesn't matter if they're male or female. Right. I'm courteous. I'm courteous to the servers when they're serving me dinner at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm courteous because that's really important to me, right? But a lot of people confuse that flirting. Oh, he said thank you to the waitress. So what if he did? Or he spoke to that woman and got her a glass of wine. So what if he did? That's just being courteous. That's well-mannered. That's being well-mannered. It's not being flirtatious. Flirtatious, in my mind, is saying to someone, oh, gee, you're cute. You know, I love your hair. You know, that, you know, making comments and sort of being unnecessarily touchy-feely. And there are fun, flirtatious things, but a lot of people confuse flirtatious with being polite and friendly.
Right. Right. But, you know, people expect, like, when they get with someone, oh, we got to put blinders on them. They can't be looking at anything. They can't be seeing anything. And it's like, they're not doing that to you. Why are you trying to do that to them?
Standard comes into play, double standards, exactly. Because they'll look around, they'll look at guys, they'll find other men attractive, you know.
Right. They'll throw their hair back, they'll take a look and be like, you know, trying to spy and trying to flirt around and, you know, blinking their eyes to get a deal. And, you know, oh, but heaven help if a guy does that. Heaven help, the war path is on.
Exactly.
You know,
or vice versa, yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, or any relationship is it? It's all based on security, how you feel about yourself, you know, and an understanding that that relationships are difficult, and you have and trust has come into play, and eventually, if you make good memories and you're always positive and you understand that person is a human being and they've got their own needs, et cetera. And they're going to fulfill their own needs in their own ways, not necessarily screwing around, but another, you know, they might want chicken and you might want pork, whatever. It's not an issue. They might be a vegetarian, you're not. Doesn't matter.
Right.
They can be a vegetarian. You cannot be a vegetarian. Doesn't matter. What matters is you love and respect each other and you respect each other's boundaries and you understand what these other people are going through. Are you just as supportive of them as you expect them to be of you? It's always a two-way street.
Right.
And that's it. And if you want to be left alone sometimes because you've got a headache or you just want to be in your own space, expect that they have the same sort of need from time to time. Right. And it doesn't mean they've lost interest, doesn't mean they're cheating, doesn't mean anything, it just means they're being human.
Right. Oh, honey, you want to see a battle girl out? Guarantee. You know, some of these girls see, you know, oh my goodness, he hasn't been on Instagram in 3 hours. And he's always there. No, the device is always there.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that he's actually there.
You don't understand how it works. If you get, for example, a messenger in our Facebook group, and you start chatting with someone, that chat mode stays in chat mode no matter what.
Yeah.
It's just that green dot is always there, even if you're not chatting with that person anymore.
Right.
That's it. You know, he was on Instagram. He said he was working all day, then I saw him on social media. But he didn't see him on social media. Yes, I did, because he was chatting. I could see he was chatting to someone. See that there was some contact at one point. So he said hello to someone probably 7:30 in the morning, but he's been at work all day. That's it. Mm-hmm.
That's
in the story. You know, they don't understand how social media works. They don't understand also, for example, in Facebook, that Facebook can automatically post an old picture of yours. They just do it as a memory thing from about 5 years ago or something. You've completely forgotten that you were even at that place. And then suddenly that picture of him at a barbecue talking to some girl, oh, no, he was at a barbecue on the weekend. So he's like, no, that's it. Look closely at that picture, but I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, that is a Facebook memory picture, and that was from like 5 years ago.
Right.
You know, yeah. They don't understand how it works.
Well, it's like something was brought up earlier in my world, and it was like 8 years ago, and someone commented on it. Oh my God, you would have thought that it was an active picture again, Facebook, you know, posting it all over that there was a comment made. Right.
Ridiculous.
Like, very ridiculous.
it's what are you gonna do? Or they've got a picture of their ex-girlfriend in their phone somewhere. Right. You could have forgotten all about it. You've got like 1,000 pictures on your phone. So what? Yeah, I really find these things. I remember I had a client once who was jealous of a man's dead wife.
Mm-hmm.
Dead what? Wife. How? Yeah. How are you jealous of someone's dead wife? But he loved her. So of course he loved her. Of course he loved her. He's allowed to love her. What he can't love his ex dead wife. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. Just because he has a memory of his wife, where he lives in the same house that they lived in. What do you want him to do?
All right. Did you listen to the coffee shop? It was the coffee shop we talked about this.
Which coffee shop?
This week's psychic coffee shop.
Yeah, what about it?
Brenda, did you listen to the last story we covered about the woman who beat the living shit out of her husband?
No, I missed it completely.
Of course, Florida woman gets arrested for attempted murder, abusing an elder, and I'm like, okay, so what occurred here? You know, we're looking at the case. This man got a postcard from a lover from 60 years ago. The woman beat the living shit out of him over a postcard from 60 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and I am like, that's just crazy. That's a level
of insane.
That ain't good for
that is the level of craziness that some women are like, unfortunately. That's how insane they get. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, is that what you know? And my question is, what does this poor man put up with for 60 years, if that's the level of jealousy here?
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, just abusive. That's it. She was looking for an excuse to beat him up. That was, nothing to do with the postcard. Just another.
Well, I think it has to do with the level of jealousy. Like, she bit him, she beat him up, she peed on him. I'm like, are you trying to mark your territory, or even worse?
She peed on him.
Yeah, she peed on him.
Unbelievable. So she got arrested, right?
Yeah, she's arrested. She's on charges for attempted murder.
I'm going to look that case up later. When I get off, I'm going to look that case up.
Yeah. And, of course, he's following, pattern behavior of domestic violence. She didn't mean it. It isn't that bad. Bullshit. The moment someone lays a hand on you,
they mean it.
They mean it. They mean every bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I get out. Granted, it'll take about 7 times to get out of a domestic violence relationship and stay out of it.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah. A lot of people don't. A lot of people get out and get put right back in. They go right back to it.
Yeah.
I took
a woman. She was a big case on. She was on Oprah. 15 mm-hmm. years she stayed with this man.
Mm-hmm.
And then she left.
Yeah.
And she finally. But I didn't kind of like feel sorry for her. I think, why would you stay 15 years?
That long to get the mentality up, to get the self-esteem up, believing the lies.
Took that long for her to turn off him. That's right. How long it took. Right. But she was also probably didn't want to live alone. She probably was depending on his income.
And well, that or she believed she couldn't live without him.
Yes, But all of a sudden she couldn't live without him after 15 years.
Right. It became
a... She had two children, and they were...
She had her belly full, basically.
And they went through 15 years of hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When my daughter's father got violent with me, it took me mm-hmm. once, mm-hmm. and my daughter was 5 months old, and I was gone. Gone. I didn't care about my broken heart. I didn't care about anything. I didn't care if I had to struggle. I was out of there because there's no way on this planet I was going to be putting up with that or putting my daughter through a lifetime with that.
Right.
No way. And I was 24 years old.
Yeah, but, you know, that's not the statistics.
No, I know.
You know. I know. That's unfortunately not the norm. What's even worse is for men that are abused. It's men? Like, yeah, men that are getting abused.
They're too afraid to speak up. They're too embarrassed.
Well, they're too afraid to be speak up. They're too embarrassed to speak up. And then, you know, when they do, they're not taken seriously.
No. Well, nowadays they're a bit more taken serious than they used to be. Mm-hmm. Nowadays systems change a little bit where you know, men are taken a bit more seriously when they're being beaten up, etc. It is taken more seriously. But years and years and years and years and years ago, no.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, no matter what, the guy you always got arrested. No matter what. Yeah. It was always his fault.
Yeah. And this is a sad reality. It depends on where you are. In New York, probably so. Probably they've adapted and like, nope, she's the abuser. She's, you know, I didn't put those marks on her. Check my fingernails. I have none of her DNA underneath my nails. Those aren't my scratches. Because there are documented cases.
Unfortunately, if someone's injured and someone isn't, the person who isn't injured usually gets arrested.
Right. No matter or who's injured worse. Or who made the phone call.
Yeah.
But here in West Virginia still, it is, you know, the man did it. He beat her up. That's her defending herself. That's the harsh reality here.
Where was that? That was in Florida, that case for the postcard, right?
Yeah. It was in Florida. And it's just like, are you kidding me? Like,
she's obviously got a screw loose.
She got a large jealousy pattern going on there. I'll say that. You know, and it's like, no man's worth that.
I mean, this is obviously an elderly couple, right?
Right.
68, yeah. I mean,
yeah. You know, an elderly couple. And I'm like, over a postcard? That's scary. Like, what would happen if he even, you know, looked a cashier in the eyes?
Oh, not to get it.
Going to get his ass beat?
Yeah, probably has done.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to spend some time in prison.
Yeah.
Maybe not, because if it's her first known offense.
Right.
Maybe not. Yeah. In that scenario, it sounds like the neighbors probably called the police.
Yeah.
Not him, because he's obviously too busy being beaten up. So the neighbors must have
actually called him. Actually, he did, and he also videotaped some of it. So that I think will help him.
Oh, no, he's look, whatever happened there, if she got arrested, it's already clearly her fault. They've already made their mind up. Yeah.
Right.
She already got charged. So it's already, he's already proven his case.
Right.
You know, so that's interesting. I'm going to look that up after we're finished here.
Right. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right, then. So send me the video and everything.
Yeah, it was in South Florida. And I'm like, yeah. This is insane. And I'm like, horrifying. This is what people deal with. You know, and need to see those early warning signs and get the hell out.
But why? My thing is, and I understand psychology for a number of years, and I still don't understand. Why deal with this? Why, you know, I understand being afraid of being alone. I understand being afraid about being unloved. But at the same time, you know, especially if you're an elderly person, because Florida caters to the elderly. And there are tons of places to live. If you're elderly and alone, you've got Florida's place to be because it caters to, it's a geriatric kind of state, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
And they cater to that kind of snark.
Right.
So he would have had an out many times. He would have been able to get out of that scenario. What stopped him? That's the part that I need mm-hmm. to really, really do a deep dive into right. what stops people
right.
from bringing themselves through that kind of horror story. Especially masochistic relationship, right?
Well, you have to back it back a point because it's never, you know, it's never starts out with, you know, a flat out beating.
It but this is 6 years later. This is not her first beating of him. My words. She would have this is a pattern that she's been in with him and her for a long time. So this was not the first time for sure.
Oh no. But this is a pattern that starts. First, they make a slight comment like, you shouldn't be wearing that shirt. And then all of a sudden that shirt comes up missing. Then they make little other comments that you really don't think is out of the ordinary. You know, like, oh, they're being so protective. Oh, you know, oh, I'm wrong. I done it. I said the wrong thing. I've done made them mad. Whatever. And it keeps going. And at the same time, they start alienating people from them. Like, we can't go with your niece over to your niece's house. She doesn't like me. She's just got your problems. Oh, this one's lying. You know, you're eliminating that support system systematically.
Exactly.
I know. And
especially if he's got his own property and his own money, and mm-hmm. she wants it all. She doesn't want the family. She doesn't want any of the family to get it. That's right. Also a factor.
Yeah. You know, all those become factors. All those things started years ago. And mm-hmm. it's like water. And before you know it, you don't even know the person that's standing. You don't even know the person in the mirror anymore because they have, you know, no makeup, no hair, you know, you can't go out, you know, you waste too much time at the grocery store, so I'll go. You waste too much. I mean, and it's just systematically destroying the self-esteem, systematically destroying the person's personality, and systematically breaking apart the support system they have.
Right.
Okay. And then before you know it, then the physical violence starts.
Exactly. Terrible.
You know, and then the cycle continues with, oh, honey, you know, I won't do that again. I was just too drunk. Then it's like, well, you made me do it. I told you not to do that again. You've done
it. You made me do. Yeah, it's always look what you made me do.
Right.
Always.
You know. And it continues to break down the person. Because you know, when the person gets out of the abusive relationship, they're scared of their own shadow. You know, they don't think they have self-esteem. Or they have no self-esteem, like zero. Nobody's going to want me because I've got 5 kids. Nobody's going to want me because of this, because of that, because I'm fat, because I'm ugly. And they believe it's fact. And it's like, no, honey, there's a lot of people out there who want you. But you got to want yourself. And that is probably the hardest next to religious trauma that has to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Has to be like broke down.
Yeah.
And deconstructed. By someone that's a quality therapist. We are not qualified therapists. Please go see a qualified therapist. You know, is to break that down and to go through and rebuild that person up. And it's not an overnight process.
It takes years because that low self-esteem and all that allowing themselves to get beaten up constantly starts at a very young age.
Right.
It doesn't start in a relationship. It starts before to stay in that and think it's okay. Mm-hmm. It starts when they're a young age. We are probably physically abused a lot, like not sexually so much, but physically abused, told to shut up a lot.
Right.
Made to feel devalued on many levels. Then they adhere to someone that makes them feel exactly the same way that they used to feeling. And to break away from that is really difficult. You have to change your whole mindset. And not an easy thing, and it takes a long time to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then the other part of that, and people don't like this, do not get into another relationship until
therapy.
Because
you need a break.
You don't know what a real relationship is.
Correct.
And you're going to either do one or two things. You're going to pack that damaged suitcase right into the new relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to create the same behavior. You can. Like, you can quickly, you know, go and find someone just like your ex-husband. Seen it happen all the time. Or you're going to bring that damage in there, and that damage is going to affect your new relationship.
You've got to get therapy. You've got to start to reinvent yourself and reinvent the beliefs in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, affirmations come into play, because that's part of reinventing yourself. Mm-hmm. And you do need a therapist to guide you through it all.
Yeah.
Because it's never a smooth road. It's like you go five steps forward and two steps back, because you'll have a moment or something. Sure. Someone will say something, you know, and you're, oh no, I am a fool. I am an idiot. I'm not worth anything. So it kind of, you've got to keep that it's like conditioning, because it's conditioning and scripting, and that's what starts when you're a baby.
Right.
And it depends what people are saying to you as you're growing up. And unfortunately, not all parents are good people, sadly. Mm-hmm. And they'll say the worst, they'll say and do the worst things to their kids, and they wonder why they grow up to be criminals or stay in abusive relationships or whatever. Because that's what they were taught. That's how they were taught to live. And it's sad.
That's how they're taught to live. That's also sometimes how they're, you know, your expectations. Like, well, I made him mad, it's my fault. You know, I knew better than to, you know, take care of yourself.
Usually the scapegoat of the family, and everything's their fault.
Right.
Everything. Someone breaks a cup in another room, it's their fault. Everything is their fault. That starts at a very young age.
Right.
So to break all that down and rebuild that person's mindset takes a lot of work.
It does, and it takes a lot of deep work.
Yes.
And things that they do not even realize they do. One of the things that drove Joe up the wall is I would get to his house, and as I'm going along, like cooking, cleaning, whatever, I wouldn't close doors. Pantry doors, bedroom doors. Nope, leave them wide open. Drove him about insane. Any place that a human could fit into, not closing that door. Don't like that door being closed. It took a while getting work through that and going, here's the history, and we won't go into that. Working past, you know, getting comfortable with, you know, the bedroom doors being closed or the living room doors being closed or, you know, this, that, and another closing.
That sounds like the closet syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like talking about, you know, trying to hot, you know, wanting to know where everything is, where everyone is.
Yes.
And making sure if there are any additional people hiding in any closets.
Yes.
Yes.
That's like major trauma based on being locked in somewhere and also being hurt.
Or, you know, it's a whole story. We'll get into it. But, you know, these are things that were like 20 years old. Didn't even realize I was doing them. He's like, can't you close the door? And I'm like, yeah, not that hard to do. And he's like, well, start doing it. You're driving me crazy. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, every door in this house is open. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, go look. You've been here all weekend. Every door in this house is open. Didn't even notice the behavior.
No, because it becomes second nature. It becomes like a bit of OCD. You have to have a thing a certain way in order to feel better. Everyone's got a little bit of OCD in them. Everyone does. And, extreme cases, of course. But I have it. I have little things where I have to have certain things a certain way. You know, I have a real psychotic thing, especially the cat food cupboard. I have a cat food cupboard. It has to be perfect. It has to have everything in order and, you know, exactly in order. And I feed her exactly certain portions of food. You know, that's my little craziness. Or I like the faucet to be on a heavy spray pattern, so I can really heavily spray my daughter likes on the soft things as it gets sprayed all over. Little things that I need to do, little rituals that I have to take part in order to get through my day. Stupid little rituals, but that's my OCD. You know, and my childhood was full of trauma and drama and God knows what else, and I didn't have a good time at all. So.
Yeah, I don't remember childhood or early dating. Like, neither one of those need to be repeated. Thank you very much. Learn those lessons. Let's move forward.
But, you know, I have moved forward from all of that. And and so have you. Even though you have some little things that might be there, but they're not that bad. You know, they're not like...
Right.
Like, you're in a healthy marriage. Joe loves you. You love him. I can tell when I observe you guys interacting that it's a healthy, comfortable relationship. It's kind of, I watch these things out of habit. I can't help myself. So I see you and Joe. I've seen you and Joe interact. And I know that they're good together. They're comfortable. Right. They have their moments, but they're good together. You get grumpy, he might get grumpy. You know,
you've got a bit of a
temper. Yeah,
we don't yell and scream. We don't yell and scream. If we want to yell and scream, we'll take it to Messenger.
Yeah. If you don't yell, you're not the yelling type. You know, you get grumpy, but you're not an aggressive, violent animal. Let's put it that way. And nor is he. But you do get grumpy, and you know he tries to calm you down a little bit. But you know the thing is, so why are you grumpy? So what if the main thing is you're both good people and you cope with each other very well and you handle each other very well. And that's the main thing. You're comfortable and you understand each other because no one's perfect on this planet. No one is.
Right.
You know, I get irritable, I get sad, I get grumpier, I get short-tempered. You know, I can yell. Well, not really. My throat doesn't really let me yell loud. Unlike my daughter, who's got that famous special scream that you hear on horror movies, she's really good at that.
I will call it the cop voice.
The cop and voice.
Or drill sergeant voice of, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you request you're going to do it. And if you don't, this will be your results.
Correct. My daughter's got that cop voice. Well, she's a cop. So she's in a cop most of the time, or she's a cop all the time. So she has that cop thing going on.
Yeah.
She'll be like very authoritarian in when she expresses herself, and I'll bite back. I'm bad at that. And my grandson's like, "You guys shut up."
And you know, I dealt with too many badges to like, everyone knows when I drop to daddy town, we're done.
I mean, look, you've got a good relationship with Joe. That is important. Mm-hmm. And you love each other, and that is important. And you have those qualities of where you respect each other and you respect each other's boundaries and you allow each other to be each other. You allow Joe to be who he is and Joe lets you be who you are. It's like that couple in Oklahoma that I keep talking about. They're like that. She can get grumpy with him. Sure, she can. He can grumpy with her. Sure, he can. They can have their moments, right? He can lose his temper, you know, but what I love about watching them as well is they love each other and they understand each other and they understand each other's boundaries. He's that way, she's this way, and they still love each other and doesn't turn into a major conflict of, you know, like, we've got to get divorced or, you know. So, and I respect that because it's exactly how I see a healthy relationship dynamic to be, you know.
Right.
Yeah, accepting each other who they are. And that's what I often say to my clients. You're not accepting him for who he is. And who he is not going to be who you are and what you think he should be.
Right?
And he has, because he hasn't had that same expectation from you. He hasn't got an issue with you. He accepts you as you are, but you're not accepting him. So it's not him that's got an issue. It's you that's got an issue with him. And they go,
I find it's not normally that they have an issue with the person. It's that they came into the relationship armed with duct tape and hot glue guns.
You can't rebuild a person. The person you fell in love with is the person you fell in love with. With all their idiosyncrasies, with all their little eccentricities, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. That's the person. Like, right. If I ever went on a date, I've never been on a dating site in my life, but if I ever went on one, the first things I would write is I smoke, I don't cook for anybody, I'm a lazy slob, I don't like wasting my legs regularly, take me or leave me, I'm good company if that's about it, right? That's it, right? You know, like, I don't want to put airs and graces on. I want to be myself. And if no one can accept me for who I am exactly as I am, too bad. That's it.
Well, and, you know, that's a good position to be in.
Yeah.
We're at the top of the hour, darling, so why don't you go ahead and give your schedule?
Okay, so I'm on keen from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. every night. I do stay on a little longer sometimes. I do start a little earlier at times. My schedule is definitely 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. every day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. All right. And if you need me, please just ping me or email me and I'll log on if I'm not there, you know. So that's it. Right. I'm here to help. I do need specific direct questions. In order for you guys to get specific and direct answers, please.
Yeah. And you can reach me from midnight to 8 a.m. On Keen, on Zodiac, on Best American Psychics, Bob Orman's site. Go ahead and reach out to me there. Different specials going on all the time. Be sure to check that out. You can go to my website. If you cannot book an appointment with me, go to my website, click Trusted Partners, and you'll see a list of all the ones I've invested in. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night on Mountain Bears.
Take care. See you later, Devin. Bye-bye. Carolyn, see you later.